Jesus, we are of all men most miserable, most to be pitied. And so that's a central thing, the resurrection of our Lord. And yet the apostles had difficulty getting their arms around this fact. He had told them that he was going to Jerusalem where they would put him to death, and the third day he would rise again. He told them that several times. But somehow they couldn't put it all together yet. And so that Sunday evening they met in that private setting with the doors secured, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared. They were frightened apparently at first, and he stilled their fright very quickly when he said, "Peace be unto you." And then he said, don't be afraid. As the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you into the world. I had a mission here to accomplish, and you have one too. I'm sending you into the world. And then he said some things here that I want us to think about a little while this morning. I wanted, first of all, to tell you that by Thomas's absence that Sunday night, he missed the joy of being with the Lord. Jesus would only be with him for 40 days before he went back to heaven. And Thomas missed a whole week of that time that he didn't get to see him. The other disciples that were present, they saw him. They saw the wounds in his hands and his side. But Thomas missed all of that. So he missed the joy of being with the Lord. The text says the disciples were glad when they had seen the Lord. So whatever gladness flooded their hearts, that was not true of Thomas because he was absent. So he missed that. There's something else he missed. He missed the comfort of being with those of like faith. There's something comforting at times of crisis about being with people who've been there and done that. When we know that when something's happened in our family, maybe we've lost a loved one, and someone comes who's also lost one, we know that they can sympathize. They may not know exactly how we feel, but they've been there, and they know what it means to hurt. And so there's some comfort to be derived. Thomas had been with these apostles when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. He had watched as he fed the 5,000. He'd been present when he raised the dead. All of these experiences they held in common. He had been a part of all of that. And if there ever was a time in the life of these apostles that they needed to be comforted, it was now. That they needed to draw close to one another and draw strength from each other. But whatever comfort they derived from being together at such a time, Thomas missed because he wasn't there. There's something else, though, that Thomas missed by his absence that Sunday night. Thomas missed the evidence which he himself demanded to remove his doubt. When the other disciples saw him later, they said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." "Ah," he said, "I don't believe that." They said, "Yes, we saw him. He showed us his hands, where they drove the nails in, and his feet and his side. And we felt the wound." Thomas said, "Listen, I don't believe that." He said, "Unless I can put my hands, my finger into the print of the nails, I'm not listening to what you say. I'm going to have to put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side. And if I can't do that, I don't believe it." Well, that's the evidence he demanded. And that next Sunday night when Thomas was present, and I don't know why he was present this time and not the other, but I do know his state of mind, which played into his absence that first occasion. The first thing Jesus said when he met with him again was, "Thomas, take your finger and feel the print of the nails in my hands, the wounds. And take your hand and put it into my side that was torn, ripped open by the spear. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." I want to tell you, folks, that was the end of doubting Thomas right there. He wasn't a doubter anymore. But that was the evidence which he demanded, which the other disciples received a week earlier. But he didn't because he wasn't there. I tell you something else Thomas missed by his absence that Sunday night. I'm sure the other disciples must have told him what Jesus said. But all of his life, the rest of his life, don't you know Thomas wanted to kick himself because he wasn't there to hear it actually flow from the lips of the Savior? Jesus said to those men, as he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said, "Whose sins you remit, they're remitted. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." What a charge that was, and Thomas missed hearing that. Here is a charge that grows out of the fact that the Holy Spirit was coming upon them to guide them into all truth. Now, we have two choices here about this statement that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The idea of inspiration is that God breathed his message out. Jesus breathed on them and said, the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. He either then and there imparted the Holy Spirit to them, or else what he did was a symbolic gesture of what was to come a little later. And I believe that second choice is the one we're forced to take, because as late as Acts 1:8, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to the apostles, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So obviously that had not yet occurred. So this was a gesture to indicate the greatness of this event. And when the Holy Spirit did come upon them to guide them into all truth, the Holy Spirit would lead them to preach the message upon which men could expect to have their sins forgiven. And everybody from the time of the day of Pentecost till now, and as long as the world shall stand, everybody who has heard the teaching and the preaching of these inspired men and has acted upon that, done what they said should be done, would have the remission of sins. Sins would be forgiven. And everybody who has not done that would have their sins retained. They would not be forgiven. They'd be held against them. Friend, if you haven't obeyed what these inspired apostles preached for the remission of sins, as they were guided by that Holy Spirit, you still have your sins on your soul. They hadn't been forgiven, and they won't be until you do what these Holy Spirit-guided men preached. What a charge that was. What a charge. And as great as it was, it's sad to report that Thomas didn't hear it because he wasn't there. I tell you something else that Thomas missed that Sunday night by his absence. He deprived himself of a considerable amount